Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Do you want to sing or should I?
I think Ken should sing.
Okay.
Ah! A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's a song. Just take a look around you, nothing can go wrong.
Everything's a song.
The possibilities may astound you.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
And apparently, and you can tell from the lack of harmony that I'm Ken.
And this is Luke and Carrie and Ken's Bad Rapport. And episode number 24.
24?
We said an episode number.
Blink.
OMGs.
Blink. 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 It's episode 24.
Right. My first thought was Willie Mays, and I realized, oh, wait a minute, Jack Bauer, duh.
Since you mentioned Jordan last week. A sports reference for the 99% of you that didn't get that.
For the people who are not me who are going to be listening to this.
So everyone sit back and buckle in for the least prepared episode of Bad Rapport ever.
Well, we're not doing our regular segments except for reading comments, because if we didn't read comments at all, then there'd be too many next time.
Actually, I am going to read some news of the stupid, because I checked the Bad Rapport Gmail and we got 3 submissions from fans of stupid news stories. So we'll just read them and riff out off of them as they come. So
okay, well,
yeah.
Do you want us to each read one then?
Actually, I have one too. If I had one prepared just in case, if in backup, but we can read the ones you have.
Well, can you open the Bad Rapport Gmail so that you can see them, Carrie?
I could.
Or I could just read
if
them.
You ask nicely.
Well, this episode's off to a great start. Hey, I'd like to eat me some bacon. Boy, howdy,
what? Well, this is we've had episodes that were unstructured before.
Now, yeah, Grant and I did some. I did some Photoshop work. I didn't realize Duke was going to be part of it too.
Okay. Oh God, that's horrible.
That's how it was supposed to be.
Okay, this is. We already have the photo for this episode, Ken.
Okay.
Luke. Okay.
Okay. I have
hope
no
you
idea.
Didn't have something special planned because Ken has something.
I have no idea what it is or what you're talking about.
Well,
we'll send it. I'll send it to you when I get home.
You'll see it.
All right.
So,
and I've picked out the 4 songs.
My wife sent it to you.
So that he can see it during the episode?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, when we have a break, then we'll... Or he'll start texting her now. Okay, so I'm logging out of a Gmail. But anyways, we're not going to do News of the Stupid right away because we would never do that. So you have a topic, I have a topic, and Ken has a topic. Luke, you start. What's your topic?
Well, I've been contemplating a lot mixtapes. As you know, and as Sarah obviously knows, because there are tons of them in the basement, I spent many, many years from the late 80s to, I'd say roughly about 2004, making mixtape cassettes. And I wanted to just kind of talk about that just because I don't think I've ever talked about it on the show and I needed something to talk about. So,
okay.
The
stop laughing in advance about the news of the stupid
kid. Okay, I'm sorry. It beats Brandon Jacobs by far.
Okay, anyways, go ahead, Luke.
So,
mixtapes.
Yeah. Basically, it started mainly with me wanting to make mixtapes of all of these of comedy songs that I liked a lot. So, because Weird Al, Dementia, that whole kind of thing, and I didn't call them comedy tapes, I called them weird tapes. And I was mainly getting tapes that were 60 minutes in length, so I was putting Roman numerals on them, so it would be...
Fantastic!
Oh, sorry, I just forgot.
Okay. Actually, my phone's not on silent either. Go ahead.
So, 60-minute tapes, so I would... label them with Roman numerals, so weird tape 1, weird tape 2, as my way of, like, keeping track of how many hours of of this stuff I had accumulated. And then as I was getting more into hip-hop, I started rap tapes. So there was rap tape one, rap tape two, etc.
Yeah.
There was.
Did you go into real numbers at that point, or did you still feel Roman numerals were more appropriate?
All the way through to 2004, I stuck with the Roman numerals long after I should have abandoned them, because I ended up with, like, you know, 50 to 60 of the various weird tapes and rap tapes and stuff, and I'm like, well, I started with Roman numerals, I'm stuck with it, I have to keep with it, so,
yeah.
And here's
That's
the other,
funny.
Here's the even more retarded thing. Once it got to a point where I was, you know, getting, like, 120-minute tapes, I would have to put two Roman numerals on that one so I could keep track of the proper amount of hours of tape I had. And even more retarded than that was I was getting... Sometimes I had to get 90-minute tapes, so I had to put, like, a Roman numeral and then at the end of it, one half. So that
Which
I could,
email address did you give her?
I didn't do it yet.
Oh, okay.
Is it, should I just...
Just give her Luke's email address.
Oops.
Go ahead. Sorry, Luke.
Sorry.
We're still listening.
I'd like to believe
I'm sorry.
That. So that was really stupid and retarded, but I stuck with it anyway because once I, you know, start in an organizational system, I stick with it. I also, on occasion, listened to what people would consider to be normal pop music, so I started what I called rock tapes, which basically meant, you know, anything else that, you know, didn't fall into either comedy music or rap music. And there were lots of various other mixtapes, but after a while, I started making mixtapes in probably, it was definitely high school was still happening. So it was, late 80s, very early 90s. And then once I got away to, started going to college, I started realizing that when it came to, like, you know, running around to, you know, take the bus to go to places or going to class or going wherever, carrying around lots and lots of these tapes was getting to be cumbersome after a while. So
yeah.
I decided to start making a special type of mixtape in which I took all of my absolute favorite tracks that I've been listening to over the past 4 to 6 months and put them all on one mixtape, usually an 120-minute tape. On side A, I would mainly focus on the hip-hop stuff I liked, and on side B, I would mainly focus on the comedy stuff I liked. So
right.
I called the series of tapes Hyper Spasm. And
yeah, I remember you playing these on Dementia Radio.
Yep.
Yes. So I'm explaining them in more detail for those people listening who don't know about that. So
okay, teacher.
Because
yes.
the compound word hyper, which is a variation on hype, which is a rap term, and then spasm, which is, you know, obviously something, you know, wacky and crazy. So that's the comedy side. So I started doing that in the first one must have been late 92, early 93-ish. I think I Roman numeralized those as well, but I didn't, like, you know, concern myself too much with finer details beyond that. But every 4 to 6 months, I'd make another one of these tapes. So
yeah.
I got to round, you know, I think in the end, the last Roman numeral one I did was about 16 or 17. There were a couple double-length installments in there because I just had too much music, and I had to kind of, like, do, you know, Hyperspasm 14 parts 1, 2, and 3 over, like, 3 tapes because my life had gotten too busy and I fell behind. And the thing that was good about it, though, was that it helped me to, you know, memorize a lot of this material and helped me really get into it and break it down and deconstruct it in my head. So even to this day, if I ever need to, like, refer to, you know, oh, I need to come up with a list of, you know, really good songs that I like a lot, I always go back to those tapes and, you know, kind of base a lot of that of those lists off of that. I should say,
does this have something to do with the wedding?
partially. Were you expecting me to talk about the wedding?
No, I just, like, I had thought you were going to, but I just thought, oh, this may be where, like, you got some of your plans of what to play at the wedding for the DJ.
Well, actually, I did. We had the list that we had to give to Tommy Tooney. Those of you who are, you know, PenguinCon attendees, or, you know DJ Tommy Tooney.
Tommy Tooney.
So we, you know, he's going to be coming out and being the DJ, which is, you know, awesome. So he gave us this kind of big form that we had to fill out, you know, obviously like the one me and Bill had to fill out when we were working on your wedding, Carrie.
Yes.
And, you know, so we had to give him a list, you know, figure out what songs he wanted to do for what special things and blah, blah, blah. And so I started making lists of songs that I thought would be, you know, good for the wedding, or lists of songs that it would be great if I could put that song in, but, you know, it's one of those kind of, you know, wacky songs that really isn't appropriate. So, you know, I kind of, I use my mixtape collection to help me ascertain that. So, you know, that's how this all ties into the wedding to some degree. And in fact, the four tracks I'm going to play, however I decide to disperse them amongst this episode, are four tracks from that list of, you know, songs that I'd like to play at the wedding but really aren't appropriate for the wedding. So
are any of them having a female in them?
One of them does. It's a duet between a man and a woman. So
woot.
Oh, by the way, have you heard the newest Nerdist podcast from Bumbershoot? Probably not, because I think it got posted while you were gone. So
okay, then I haven't heard it.
The female duo Garfunkel and Oates are on that episode, so you'll like it a lot.
Oh,
I haven't heard any of their stuff, but I heard about them.
Oh yeah, but yeah, when you hear that episode, you'll totally dig the stuff that they play in that episode. So plug for Nerdist podcast. Anyway,
speaking about mixtapes, I had been thinking of making some mixed CDs of some of the best of the best of the best of Dementia, other than Weird Al, which is commercially available, for our buddies Dan, Rich, and Charlie on Flat 29. And I still want to do that. I'm hoping you and I can work on it sometime after the wedding and honeymoon in Archon. But then I found out you were sending them all of our CDs, are all of our discographies, that, and you sent it over there to them, and they sent us a really nice letter about it this morning. And well, to us it was this morning; to them it was probably last night. So that was cool. So here we are, yet mentioning Flat 29 yet again.
Yes, and they'll be mentioned again later. And in fact, just as a side note, because I had forgotten to ask Carrie about this. And I wanted to get it sent off because I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to wait another 2 weeks to do it. I didn't have any copies of Carrie's albums, like any extra copies of Carrie's album, Happy Rancher, Giant Kitten. So I ended up mailing them like my personal copies of Happy Rancher, Giant Kitten.
And you said
Kitten.
You needed more.
So yeah, so when you get your restock from CDR Guy, you know, I can get those copies back again. But anyway.
Well, I can get you a Happy Ranch easily. Giant Kitten, I'm not sure I have more than one of, and I feel a little awkward parting with the only one I have.
Well,
anyway,
I wanted to get back on track with the things I was saying involving mixtapes, because there was a point I was eventually getting to.
Oh, okay, I thought you were done.
as a side note, when I started listening to the Dr. Demento show in 1995, I immediately, that's when I started majorly stocking in the 120-minute cassettes so that I could record Dr. Demento's show every week. And I didn't keep every episode in its entirety, but every week I made two... Well, okay, I started making just a mixtape of stuff from the show that I wanted to hold on to just because I liked it, or for archiving purposes, because I was trying to learn about all these artists that I didn't know about back then. It's like, other than one or two tracks and just having recognized their name, I didn't know anything about Tom Lehrer and Stan Freberg and Alan Sherman and Spike Jonze, like, you know, just very basic info. So it was like, you know, it's like, talk about a college education. It's like listening to Dr. Demento. I learned so much over the, you know, 5 years between 95 and 2000. And making those mixtapes was part of it. So I started making tapes, and I, of course, called those Demento tapes. And those I numbered in a normal way, because by then I was sick of Roman numerals, and I'm like, screw it. I'm starting this one with one numeral, you know. So,
like, you know, English letters?
Yes.
English numerals?
Yes, Gothic or whatever they call it.
Am I right in saying that when you said record Dr. Demento every week, that Ken was mouthing those words when you said them? Yes, he was. For some reason, Ken was mouthing along with you when you said that.
Okay.
Yes, I heard. Yes, you've told me many times about how you will.
Well, yeah.
My wife sent you it.
Okay. So, anyway, what I was going to say is, after about the fourth tape, and I think the Demento tapes were all 90-minute tapes, because those were, like, the cheapest, easiest ones to get in bulk, so I'm like, okay, screw it, 90-minute tapes for the Demento tapes. After about the fourth one, I began to realize, like, even amongst making that archive set of tapes, there were certain songs I wanted to hear more and more and more of, but, yeah, you know, they were all around this other kind of stuff I was keeping just for archival purposes. So I then started making I basically called the series of tapes Demento Concentrate. And instead of labeling those with numbers, I labeled those with letters. So it was Demento Concentrate A, B, C. Those were 90-minute tapes as well. So that was going to be... So, like, there was the Demento tapes for archiving, but there was the Demento Concentrate for, like, this is the really good shit that I love a lot and is awesome. So, you know, that's another set of tapes I often refer to. And, in fact, I don't know if this will happen. It will hopefully happen. But on the Dr. Demento show, he has occasionally, over the past year, started doing a thing where fans send in their fantasy funny 25 countdowns of their top 25 favorite songs or, you know, something to that effect. I recently went through the Demento Concentrate tapes and made a list of all of my favorite, like, super rare Dr. Demento freak of nature kind of tracks, like the kind of songs you can only hear on Dr. Demento. And I sent him a Fantasy Funny 25 list of songs like that. So he got it, and he said that he thought the list was pretty neat and that there weren't too many songs on that he had played recently, so that maybe the next time he does one of those shows, he'll use mine. So I certainly hope he does. But the super final, absolute final point of me bringing all this up is, as I said before, the Hyperspasm tapes petered out. The last one was about late 2004, and I can think of two major reasons why I stopped making the Hyperspasm tapes in about that time. One is because it had just simply become too inconvenient to deal with cassette tapes because, you know, CDs were starting to be the thing, and of course, shortly after that, MP3 players took over. But so that was kind of one aspect. The other aspect is, just late 2004 is just before early 2005, and that was kind of a fucked up year for me. And those of you who are around know, and those of you who weren't around, I'm not going to tell you. Just trust me, it was a bad year. So I kind of lost my mixtape making mojo, and I kind of lost touch with music a lot to some degree. But 2007 comes along, and here is the Fump. So the Fump, in a way, became, it's like, oh, like, talk about, you know, Demento Concentrate, you know, twice a week, here's a song by a band that is awesome, that's one of my favorites, you know, and now and now there's these, you know, 22 volumes of CDs. It's like, it's not an exact replacement, but it kind of filled that void for me. But I've just been thinking lately a lot about how, you know, that way of me keeping track of all my super favorite songs, you know, in a 4 to 6 month basis, you know, I kind of wish I had somehow kept doing that, just because it would be helpful, you know, at the very least. So at some point in the coming future of my life, I don't know when, it'll have to be when I totally have free time and, you know, I can just bullshit around, you know, dicking with stuff like this. I kind of want to go back into my CD collection and start, like, putting together, you know, kind of lists, and maybe I'll make it a Dementia Revolution thing where I can do, like, a 2-hour set of, like, my favorite songs from, you know, each year, like, you know, 04, 05, 06, 07, 08, 09, so that I can kind of, you know, turn that into some kind of either episodes or an MP3 playlist, or maybe even just burn two CDs and have it be, like, that's the equivalent of that, so that I can, you know, I can kind of get back something that I lost that was important to me. So, you know, that's so Nick's taping was important to me, and I hope it was important to other people and that they found any of this interesting.
That's very enthusiastic of you.
Yes. I
admit. Very upset, very OCD.
Yes. But, or even CDO.
What does that mean again?
It's OCD, but the letters in alphabetical order.
Yes. And actually, the way they should be.
And actually, Matt Duhan's making a shirt with that on it.
Oh, I thought somebody already had.
Or maybe, because I know Matt had the button with it.
You know, speaking of shirts, you can now buy t-shirts from the store at thefump.com starting today.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah. Awesome.
But all right, so does this lead? I'm glad we had you to go first. So does this lead us into our first song?
Yes, it'll be a song that is liked by me, and is vaguely wedding-ish. So
okay,
I'll press stop now and then save, and then we'll start again.
Okay.
Get a ring.
A big diamond.
You hop to the shop to buy a ring.
A big diamond.
You hop to the shop and got a ring. Felt left out cause all your friends are hooked. But now you're at the altar.
Your goose is cooked.
You say your prayer. Lord, please give me strength to make it through. Opened up your nervous mouth. Slipped and said, I do. Look, you do, son. Now hurry up and kiss the bris eye.
Peace of the Father. Cause now the knot is tied. Yeah, it's time to make the move.
Are we back?
Yes, we're back.
We are back.
That was an awesome song.
In case you guys can't tell, we're Skyping this. Me and Ken are at my house in Chicago, and Luke is in Des Plaines. And, oh, shit. I need to feed them. Okay. Well, I think it's my turn to feed them. Anyways,
I'm barking at a dog on the way here. I might as well.
You can feed them, Josh. Okay, be quiet. So.
No!
Do we need to feed Luke, too?
I think we already did.
Okay.
Okay, speaking of meow, this is my topic, and Luke and Ken already know this, so they're probably going to be bored. But, they don't know all the details. But, they know the beginning of the story. 2 weeks ago, we recorded a podcast. I had no idea that I'd be going to Arizona, which I just got back from today. I woke up in Arizona this morning. What happened was, as the two of you know, it started a couple months ago. Well, I have to explain. My mother-in-law, she's been a cat lover for 22 years, although she's in her early 70s, so she came to cats later in life, but still, 22 years is a long time to be loving cats. But as someone who has lupus and stuff, she has been reluctant to get a new cat because she's worried about what's going to happen to the cat if something happens to her. So she has been not wanting to get a new cat for that reason, but she really wants one. Now she lives alone, and like completely alone, no pets of any kind, and a cat lover with no cat. Well, a couple months ago she had a dream where a cat came to her door, and then she took it in. And I got her to agree that if that happened, then she would actually do it. And she said, and then I said, well, if you see me darting off in the bushes, just ignore me. Because I really, really, really wanted her to get a cat. Okay? So, Saturday, a week ago Saturday comes along, and I, whoever farted, okay, burping is one thing. Farting is not allowed on the podcast.
And this was not me.
Too late. I think it's already on the podcast.
It was me. Josh. That's how powerful my farts are.
No, it was Josh. Josh, get over here so I can hit you.
Well, you want me to bring it back with me? You do
Josh.
Know how farts work, don't
Josh.
You?
Josh, get over
what?
Here.
What? Why do I get it?
No farting on my podcast.
Come see the violence inherent in this system.
Yeah.
That's just gross. That's and he has to be facing the mic, walking by with his ass facing the mic. Just shut up. Okay.
Just listening to the episode at work.
What are you guys whispering about?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So, please continue with your story about cats and old women.
You know, I told her she should listen to the podcast, and you have to call her old women. Anyways, so a week ago Saturday, I called my mother-in-law, Karen, and she's like, guess what? You'll never believe this dream that I had last night. I dreamt that you and Josh were in town. We told Josh, hey, watch TV. Me and Carrie are going to go out to the shelter and pick out a cat. And I said, okay, let's do it. And she agreed that she would actually go to the shelter and get a cat. And I was so thrilled that she was actually going to get a cat finally that I immediately started trying to come up with a plan to get us out there quickly. Instead of waiting till November, which is when we were planning to go see her. Well, Josh couldn't go this weekend because he's on call and stuff. we can't go next weekend because some dorky guy I know is marrying some awesome hot chick that I know. I can suck up to her when I know
Jared
she's listening.
Jared and Angie are finally getting hitched?
Did you just? Oh.
Okay.
You'll have to re-listen to what I actually said for that sink in.
Sarah just hit me.
Okay, good.
Good.
That was well deserved.
Yes.
So you know, the weekend after that, you know, Josh is on call again. You know, blah blah blah. You know, Con and the Cob, this and that, and we're like, okay, this is not going to happen any other time except this weekend. And when I told my husband I wanted to go out there by myself, he thought I was crazy. And he called me cat shit crazy. But I'm cat shit crazy. So I got a ticket, I got the time off, and on Saturday, I flew to Arizona by myself to help my mother-in-law get a cat. So, Sunday, we went, me and Karen, and Karen's companion, Mike, who doesn't live with her, but is sort of like her boyfriend-ish kind of deal. The three of us drove out to, like, the middle of the desert, basically, where they had this humane society. And we said we want to look at cats. And to try to make a long story short, we had to take home the first cat that she saw when we walked in the door. But he was a black and brown tabby, and she already kind of had a thing for black and brown or black and white tabbies. And he looked like a really cuddly, really sociable guy. So we got this cat. At the time, he was named Jiggs, J-I-G-G-S. But we got him home, and Luke suggested the name Loki, L-O-K-I, which is the, what is it, the Norwegian, Scandinavian god of mischief and deception.
Yeah.
And as soon as he suggested the name Loki for the cat's new name, we didn't have to look for any other names because we were all in agreement that Loki was the best name. So the cat got named Loki, and we brought him back to my mother-in-law's house on Sunday, and I was there until this morning, Tuesday morning, to help the transition, and let's just say Loki's just about the most awesome cat you could possibly hope for. He's super sociable. He's super loving without being overly clingy. He's well behaved. He's smart. He's muscular and agile, and it's really fun to watch him play. Although he does have a bit of a tummy, just a little bit, and he's not officially a long cat, but he's as long as you can get without being a long cat. He takes up 2/3 of the couch when he stretches out. And he's freaking adorable, and my mother-in-law is officially in love with Loki, as you know, and mission accomplished, and not in the George W. Bush way, in the real way. And now I'm home, so that's my story.
And fortunately, your flight was not a couple hours later than it was.
Yeah, because there's storms now, but there wasn't when I landed. So that's my cat story.
Yay!
Kind of a short, shortened version because I don't want to be here all night doing this. But so
you've earned valuable karma points.
Well, somebody I know helped me get my first cat here from a long distance.
Oh yes,
that would be and me.
That would be Luke Ski. Went through a lot of trouble to get Buffy here from St. Paul back in. Well, her first day here was January 1st, 2006. So
wow, that was a long time ago.
So I was paying it back. I owed the universe really good cat karma.
If you were paying it back, you would have been doing something for me. But if you're doing it for somebody else other than the person you were paying back, then you're paying it forward.
Oh, okay, whatever.
Just ask Haley Joel Osment. He knows about these things.
Anyways, here's a song that has nothing to do with cats.
Or does it?
A song about eating food. Dum-ba-dum. I would climb the deepest river, swim the highest mountain. I'd wash my feet in lemonade if that will do the trick. I would dip my pig in butter and ride him round the playground. If I thought it'd make you love me, I'd put soup on a stick. Soup on a stick. I knew a girl named Zoe who lived in Chicago. That's another Zoe. Zoe had a sister, and I could not resist her. I tried one time to kiss her, but I missed her. And that's how I met Zoe. Here's the part about cutting muffins. And I'd climb the deepest river, swim the highest mountain. I'd even clean my room if I thought that would do the trick. I'd trade underwear with Zorak or give up eating donuts. If I thought it'd make you love me, I'd put soap on a stick. Someday on a stick. Soap on a stick. Where's my pineapple? I'm going to my room.
And now it's time for...
Created by Devo Spices at devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove it innocent, cause it makes it so demeaning to incriminate.
Inmates break out of jail to buy meth and return to their cells. Pineville, Missouri. Two McDonald County jail inmates are accused of breaking out of jail and back into it Tuesday night. Eric Bishop, 26, of Rogers, Arkansas, and Justin Forkham, 26, of Anderson, Missouri, are back in custody today, albeit in different jails and in different counties. The two escaped from the McDonald County Jail about 11 p.m. Tuesday, we're assuming last Tuesday, breaking out by punching out a ceiling panel, then knocking a hole in the metal siding of the building, Sheriff Robert Evanson said. The two left the jail to buy meth. The night before last... Jail staff heard something in the ceiling, Evanson said. The evening sergeant slash supervisor discovered a hole on the outside of one of the pods. Evanson said the pair made it back into the jail and were present when jailers conducted an inmate count. There was a little bit of confusion, the sheriff said. Here we had evidence of an escape. There were footprints down the roof, but we were not missing anybody. However, once deputies viewed video evidence collected from cameras located at a nearby school, they were able to find out what happened. The two were seen on the video footage. Evanson said the pair also stole a truck in Pineville, then later set it on fire. Bishop was in jail on theft, property damage, and possession of burglary tools, while Forkham was incarcerated on charges of possession of a controlled substance with intent to distribute, unlawful use of a drug paraphernalia, and two counts of endangering the welfare of a child. Bishop would have been done with the charges in McDonald County yesterday, Evanson said. He didn't know that. The pair will now face additional charges, including escape and property damage. They could also likely face charges in connection with the vehicle theft and fire. Forkham has since been transferred to the Barry County Jail. Neither one are in a cell block that resembles a barracks more than a jail, Evanson said. They are not having much freedom or opportunity to continue with their previous activities. Evanson said the repairs to the jail have begun. Evanson said it's likely the pair return to the jail to avoid a charge of escape, which carries a mandatory 5-year prison sentence.
That sounds almost like some kind of bizarre remake of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Where it's like, you know,
who elected you leader of this outfit?
Okay. I forgot you were supposed to start, now you go next, Luke.
Okay. This is actually a follow-up from a News of the Stupid story we did.
I didn't say that was submitted by Kyle Hudson.
This is a follow-up story a follow-up to a News of the Stupid story we had a few months ago or something like that. Suspected Darth Vader thief charged. Man wearing Darth Vader mask robs Ferndale store. Ferndale, Michigan. The Ferndale man suspected of holding up a convenience store Monday at knife point while wearing a Darth Vader mask was arraigned. Jamie Carlos Hernandez was charged Thursday with one count of armed robbery. He is being held on a $50,000 bond. He will be back in court on September 30th for a preliminary exam. Ferndale police arrested Hernandez Wednesday at his home, which was near the crime scene. Police said one Monday afternoon Hernandez entered the Get and Go store in Ferndale. This is one of the world's dumbest criminals, said Ferndale police in a press release. The Ferndale police said the unassuming thief's significant mistake before the holdup made it much easier to catch him. And let's see, is that it? Here. The man's face was clearly captured on surveillance video as he entered the store and was seen slipping on the famous Darth Vader disguise. The store's state-of-the-art surveillance cameras continued to roll as he pulled a butcher knife from his pocket and demanded money from the attendant. He sticks the knife right in my face and says, "Give me all your money right now," said the attendant, who did not want to be identified. Police said Fernandez fled the store on foot after obtaining an undisclosed amount of cash. Police said they received several tips from the community after images of Hernandez were ran on the news and he was arrested without incident. No planets named Alderaan were destroyed in the arresting of this man. Insert witty joke here that has to do with Star Wars. And thank you to, I believe it was, Blasted Bill Putt sent that follow-up to us.
Oh, thanks, Bill Putt.
Thanks, Putt. Be glad the deal is altered no further, or something like that.
Yes.
I keep forgetting that reference.
Anyways,
I'm always known for misquoting.
This News of the Stupid is getting worse all the time.
Well, of course, this is the time of year where my thoughts turn to another subject, of course. It's time for football, and now football is a violent and emotional game, and players and coaches and even owners get fines and suspensions for doing things on the field, making plays that could hurt people or making comments that they shouldn't. But New York Giants running back Brandon Jacobs actually took a new step during the Sunday night football game held in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Field, which is right by where Genkheim was. Upset over a play, he took his helmet and he was basically firing into the bench in anger. However, as he went to throw the helmet, it slipped, and the helmet ended up flying off his hand and landing in the 10th row in the seats.
Oops.
Fortunately, nobody was hurt. And as you can imagine, the fans started yelling at him for doing that. And he got into a big argument, and even the coach got involved. But then the best part was when the fans actually, the stadium personnel actually had to come down to try to get the helmet back. And showing live on national TV, two people trying to wrestle a helmet out of a 50-year-old man.
Oh, God.
Which didn't matter because after what happened, the coach basically benched the guy. And now, of course, the guy's subject to fines, to being fined and probably suspended for a while, which is probably going to cost him more money than you and I make in a year.
Right. Oh my God. What a stupid dumbass. And I have no riff for that because I don't riff.
Right.
Luke, riff for that?
Football. Sorry, that's all I could think of.
I figured that was coming.
Finally, have people figured out yet that this is totally unscripted and we're just winging it?
I don't know.
I was actually going to try to find the website so I could read it instead of coming up with saying it off the top of my
brain. But he didn't understand that Google Chrome, you enter the Google search term in where you normally enter the address.
Oh, duh.
Anyway, finally this week, college offers zombie course. In Baltimore, a University of Baltimore professor said he is basing his English 333 curriculum around zombies. Arnold Bloomberg said his class will screen 16 zombie film classics and require reading of zombie comic books, and students will have the option of writing a screenplay or draw storyboards for their ideal zombie movies as final projects, the Baltimore Sun reported. Zombies are one of the most potent, direct reflections of what we're thinking moment to moment in our culture, Bloomberg said. Jonathan Shore, chair of the university's School of Communications Design, said the class is part of a new minor in popular culture. It's a backdoor into a lot of subjects, Shore says. They think they're taking this wacko zombie course, and they are, but on the way they learn how literature and mass media work and how they come to reflect our times. I don't want to know anything else about backdoor zombies, and I'm sure that the follow-up to this course of English 333 is probably English 666. Say the line, Gary.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it. This has been News of the Stupid.
Duh, zombies.
I have a screen door shield.
We are the undead.
One of these days I'll give you the full rendition of me and Josh singing that song, but today is not the day.
Okay, fine.
So
standing right next to you.
So is it time for Ken's story?
Yeah, and then I guess then after that we'll play a song and then we'll have comments. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Ken's topic beginneth.
All right. As I've said before on this, when I've appeared on this cast, I do a blog, notnormalworld@blogspot.com. And this week I'm just doing something. I want to do something special because of course, your wedding. And I decided, I was thinking about this. Hey, what? Trying to go back and figure out what were the best moments I've ever had because of your musically best musical performance I've seen from my association with you. And I was going to have it up by now. Unfortunately, I haven't had the time to finish it because I've been a little busy at work and I have to take care of a problem with my wife today.
Hey, Ken?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just brief interruption. The zombie story was sent in by Tom Elliott. So thank you, Tom. Okay. Sorry about that. Continue, Ken.
Thank you.
Yep,
eventually I'll be posting it on my site the next couple of days.
So it's a top 10 list.
Yeah, more like a top. Well, it's not like a top 10 list. I didn't want to put them in order. It's going to be in chronological order.
Okay, but it's still 10.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's your favorite musical moments from the past several years of your life that tie in somehow to me?
Or? Yeah, if I wouldn't have experienced it.
So basically anything dementia other than
Weird Al
because he would have been to Weird Al anyway. Got it?
Cool. Awesome.
Right, actually, I'm going to be playing the songs that remind me of that moment on my show on Thursday night, which we have to talk about eventually if you're going to be casting or not. I have a funny feeling you'll be a little busy.
Actually, I'm not sure. For the most, other than me trying to edit this video, things are pretty well in hand.
Awesome.
I do have to kind of play it by ear because if I need to blow it off Thursday night, then I'll blow it off. But, you know, thus far, I don't see a reason for me not to cast on Thursday at the moment. But we'll figure that out later. But
Ken might be able to do a slightly longer show to illustrate his 10 best moments because of you, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can always I always start a little early anyway.
Yeah.
And also, I got other moments that didn't make it, like watching them. Schaefer the Dark Lord.
These are going to be the honorable mentions.
Right, Schaefer the Dark Lord at MarsCon, Carrie Ann with Devo Spice doing Give It to Everybody the first time.
Yeah, which was also MarsCon.
Yeah, that was at Con of the Cop a couple years ago.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I had the videotape where I couldn't.
He has a much better memory than I have.
Oh, of course, Eric Coleman from WindyCon. Not WindyCon. What's that? The Goofy January convention, Capricorn.
Okay.
Of course, I can't think of them now because I have the microphone in front of me.
Toy boat.
So there's pressure.
Of course, there is.
So check out notnormalworld.blogspot.com, and it might not be up when this podcast goes up, but it should be up soon.
Yeah.
And somebody else I know started a blog.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants me to talk about it though.
Sure.
If you want to read a blog about gaming, tech, and other things, whatever Josh feels like ranting about, you can visit savetheorcs.blogspot.com. That's savetheorcs.blogspot.com. Pluggy, pluggy, plug.
Cool.
No, you're not playing the Nom 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 song.
But Will was looking at me, and I was like, okay, here.
So our three topics are taken care of, so we can go into the next song.
All right, and here is another song. Yay, song! Yeah.
Conversations are being recorded,
and you don't mind that all my hands are way too short on me. And I also stabbed someone with a pair of scissors a long time ago.
And you don't care that I collected animals from the side of the road, then pretend they're alive and think I'm a famous football player.
And you don't have a problem with me when I follow people I never met before and force them to look at the portrait of Neil Diamond I have tattooed on my back.
It's very pretty, baby. Well, you must have been sent from above. You're all that I can think of. You're just as psychotic as me, my crazy love. Well, it never bothers you when I wear my snowsuit to bed every night and I make you speak in tongues to me until I fall asleep.
Thank you.
And you don't make fun of me, cause I still make out with my stepfather. And I also tell everyone I was on a UFO for 2.5 years.
I believe you shouldn't have. Cause I love you down track. I'm yours, you're mine, it's a fact. Don't forget to take your Prozac, my crazy love. Well, yesterday information.
They can't fool you, sweetheart. And I know that you know that cousin Chester's house to the ground. But you told the cops we were out ballroom dancing when they came and questioned you.
I ain't no fake doctor.
Cause we know it's true. All the acts of you. We go in with our hands. My crazy.
Everybody was dead except for you, baby.
Oh, I feel the same way. Would you throw some macaroni on me?
Oh, yeah, sure. Here you go.
Comments go at the end of the show. This time, I'm too lazy to fight. And we already recorded the whole show anyway, so let's just go. There's no outline, there's no planning. This is the best we can do this week.
Okay, Captain Nova says, speaking of favorite toys growing up, mine was a tape recorder. I would just have blank tapes and do radio shows, or I would secretly record family members around the house. I'm totally with you there, Captain Nova. As for 80s nostalgia, I had this 20-something coworker that wore jean jacket. So I said to him once, 1987 called and they want their jacket back.
Or mommy when she's yelling at you.
Okay, late. I was going to mention, what the first tape recorder me and my sister got, there was some like Flintstones primetime TV special on, and we had like recorded the audio from it from the TV for like I don't know how long, like a minute or two. And like, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then like Amy taped over it later and I was so mad at her.
Oh no. I used to do all kinds of things with tape recorders. When I got into singing vocal harmonies in high school, I would take two tape recorders. I probably mentioned this on the podcast. I would sing into one, one vocal part, and then I'd press play on that one and then record on the other one. And then I'd start singing the next vocal part, and then I'd switch and I'd start recording while the two vocal parts are playing until it got so distorted that it was almost unlistenable. But that's how much I wanted to do vocal harmonies with myself. And now I have a computer. Yay!
Cool. So anyway, a comment from Insane Ian. Wow, that Tiger Shot parody of TikTok is great, but I think I like it more than most will because I play a lot of Street Fighter. I fear if you don't play it or any of its current iterations, a good majority of the jokes are lost. Still, awesome stuff. Also, awesome episode. Good fun despite lack of topics initially. Stuff.
And should I read the next one or should I have Ken read it?
You read the next one.
Okay. Dan 29, aka Flat 29 Dan, says, regarding 80s being annoyingly retro, I wouldn't say I'm annoyed by it, but I think it does kind of seem a bit more like the past. I was born in 85, so lived through half of it, but was much more concerned about Lego and construction sites. I was obsessed with excavators. So yeah, not really sure where I'm going with this, but in summary, here's me in the 80s and a YouTube link that I still haven't watched. Great show. Okay, thanks. Bye, Dan X.
The YouTube link is a picture of him as a kid sitting at a table listening to a Walkman while he's working on something. So he like has a song playing that's meant to represent like, oh, this is the song he's listening to while working on that thing as a kid. So
okay.
So thank you very much, Dan of Flat 29. Hey, at thefump.com, as we speak, their song Going for a Jog by Flat 29 is currently available for download.
Yes, and you can also comment on it as well.
Yes, and because it would be cool if people besides myself and Carrie were leaving comments for Flat 29
at
the Fump Sideshow.
They got a lot of comments on their first song, but I think Going for a Jog is a fucking excellent song, and yes. I think more people should be commenting on it.
Yes. I have not personally listened to it. I didn't realize it was up. I'll do it when I get home.
Okay.
So, should I read the next one?
Go ahead.
Captain Nova says, Luke and Carrie, Escape Pod is a sci-fi podcast where they have different narrators read different short stories every week. Devo Spice and Shoebox each narrated a different episode. If you like sci-fi and want something different from the mainstream, i.e. Star Trek and Star Wars, check it out.
Hey, Vince. All right.
Yay. Cool.
All right. Should I read Randy's?
Yes.
All right. Randy Porter says, XM had an all-novelty channel a few years back, Special X, I think, but it was online only. That went away, and they had a Christmas-only novelty channel 2 years or so ago, but it wasn't on last year either. Thanks to my new iPhone, I'm now a former XM subscriber, so I couldn't tell you what they're doing this year.
Thank Crazy you. St. Louis fangirl says, oh, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, thank you, Randy.
Crazy St. Louis fangirl says, I also had all the Rainbow Bright dolls. In college, I made a Shy Violet costume for an 80s-themed Halloween. When I was younger, my sister and cousins would have battles between the My Little Pony collection and Star Wars action figures. I understand wanting to have a nice-looking place. I thought of just dedicating one room or a finished basement to collections and have the rest of the house be more adult. And I wanted to say something about that because this, when I initially read that comment a week ago or so, hearing about the Shy Violet costume fired up my imagination, and I asked myself, why hasn't there been a cosplay group of Rainbow Bright and the Color Kids? So, Crazy St. Louis fangirl and anyone else out there, if you want to help us get it together, we could get it together, and I'll do any of the girl characters. I don't care. Let's just do it. Damn it. That would be awesome.
I think I've only seen Rainbow Bright one time.
I've seen different kinds of Rainbow Brights at cons. Usually the sexy Rainbow Bright with the cleavage instead of normal Rainbow Bright. But I've never seen Rainbow Bright and the Color Kids, which is, you know, which would be 8 different people. But that would be like the coolest cosplay group ever for me.
Yeah.
Stephanie dressed as Strawberry Shortcake 1 year. That was pretty good.
So. Do you want to read your own comment?
Yes, Left can read his comment.
You read your comment.
All right. My kids show me your collection of crazy bands, which I saw a trade with her classmates. Best one I saw was a rainbow-colored penguin. Of course, my mind saw her guitar, trombone, and clarinet. Oops. It should have been trombone.
It's okay.
Clarinet bands is a penis with balls, bong, and dildo. Yeah, I can tell where my mind was. Similar to Luke not liking the era just before he was born, I, who was born 1965, don't like the late 50s, early 60s. Didn't care for Happy Days, Grease, or the music that I would hear every day on the radio for the 6 years of my previous job because the people who were 10 to 15 years older than me liked it. Actually, Back to the Future was the only thing I liked from that era, as it was more about alternate history than the 50s.
And Back to the Future is more 80s than 50s anyways.
Right. But I want to say about, especially I hate, as I've gotten older, I've gotten to appreciate Grease even more, even before you guys did Grease Wars, because I was actually explaining this to Larry and Carrie in the car.
And, Ken and I both agreed that we hate the ending of Grease, but yes. We hate it for different reasons. Should we say in more detail, or should we just move on?
Go ahead. Be more detailed.
Okay. Well, this is if you haven't seen the ending of Grease, where the hell have you been for 32 years? Ken, why do you hate the ending of Grease?
Well, of course, I always liked Sandy, and all of a sudden, when she comes out there with a cigarette in her mouth, I almost puked when I saw that.
You didn't like her looking like a quote unquote thug.
Right. I didn't want her looking like.
You liked the regular Sandy.
I can't even think of his name. Randy? No.
John Travolta's character.
Yeah, I couldn't think of his name.
Danny. And I didn't like the ending because she changed to please her man. Aww. Sorry. As a, feminist type of person, I really don't like that message. The song's good, though.
As you're saying this, I'm just envisioning Josh off cowering in the corner by his computer with like a little bowl that says Josh on it, you know, on the floor.
That's exactly the image you should. Josh?
Carrie, go make me a sandwich now.
I'm surprised they didn't throw a bitch on there.
Sandwich. Have you seen the video we're referring to, Carrie?
No, but it was still funny to hear you chanting Samich.
Josh, do you know what we're talking about?
No, I was just kind of passing by.
Wait, hold on a second.
At least this time he didn't fart.
Sarah's coming over.
I think it's my turn to fart.
Is it College Humor? Okay, there's a video at collegehumor.com Can you read the next comment? And
God damn it, stop playing the nom 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 song.
Sorry, I got stuck on my... I could turn it off.
He's playing the nom 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 song on his freaking iPod Touch.
I'm teasing her cats.
That would be just as rude as somebody playing Plants vs. Zombies on an iPad while somebody's trying to talk to them over a Skyping podcast.
No, I know.
It wasn't on an iPad. It was on my PC.
Oh, okay.
So, is it my turn to read a comment?
Sure.
Arkel says, I really like how It's Good to Be the King turned out. I even made it the opening song for episode 50 of my podcast on the 9th. Still hoping to hear Hoser, though, smiley face.
Thank you, Arkel. So, okay, the thing that Sarah and I were just referencing is called, it's on YouTube, it's called Xbox Girls Get Revenge. So, people listening, you can look this up, and the three of you, as soon as we're done recording, go to YouTube and look up Xbox Girls Get Revenge. It's by College Humor.
Josh, you have got to watch this video.
Okay.
It's super hilarious.
YouTube has it?
Yeah. On YouTube, okay. Xbox Girls Get Revenge. So,
okay, Xbox Girls Get Revenge. Got it.
All right.
It is very... The audio is not safe for work.
That's okay.
Because we're not at
we're
work.
Not a, we're a not safe for work family.
Well, I'm assuming that anyone listening to your podcast might want to see it, and they might be at work.
Yes. Thank you, Sarah.
Well, we already got the explicit tag up on the podcast, yeah. So...
Read the next one from Sean. Sean says, I think when the Power Rangers came on the scene in 93, their core demographic was kids who were 10 or 12 years younger than me. It had a way too simple of a formula to capture my attention, and honestly, I don't think I would have liked it if I was 9 either. Twitter tweeting, fun song, after hearing my topic tweets... Maybe the 10-year anniversary re-release needs a line in it about terrible spelling and atrocious abbreviations, damn it. I hate my life, abbreviations. By the way, Luke's got the pronunciation correct for Ennis, rhymes with tennis. Nerf boomerangs, never owned one but friends did, it required some modification. The arms had to be bent up to get it to curve slightly enough to come back to you. I totally understand the resistance to doing the dollar dance. I had to cave into my Ukrainian mother-in-law and let her play something called Vivita, a.k.a. the Pay Sucker Pay song, at my wedding. If it is a tradition for your family, you could always do it as a fundraiser for your favorite charity. Merch tables at the wedding. I've been married long enough to know that that would go over like a lead balloon. Now, a limited edition CD with a Luke and Sarah duet of my favorite part would make a great wedding favor. I think it would. Maybe as a special wedding non-free pay sucker pay MP3 download could be a good pre-post wedding related fundraiser. So, food.
Hey,
You sound fine.
No, I don't.
You went to karaoke for your bachelorette party.
I like Sarah's singing voice.
Sarah, see, Carrie says it, so it has to be true.
See, my main problem with Luke having merch at his wedding is anybody who's there at the wedding probably has everything that Luke has, and anybody who's not there who doesn't familiar with the music isn't going to buy it, so there's really no sense to having
it.
Well,
yeah, but Sarah's extended family needs to hear Unexplained Rash.
No.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
good way of putting it.
Well, just tell Tommy Tooney to play. He'll play it.
All right, Kyle Hudson says, number one. Nerf boomerangs. Oddly enough, those were the only boomerangs I could get to work. Sean is correct, though. You had to bend the ends in toward the middle to make it shape more like a saucer than a disc. Number two, silly bands. I have a theory on these. I think their popularity is largely due to the economy. $2 for a pack of 10 Pokemon cards? No. 50 cents for a pack of 50 silly bands? Why not? It's very much an elementary school trading item, as many items from the past have been just very inexpensive. I hereby volunteer my 10-year-old daughter for any further elaboration if you want it. Or we have easier access to Ken's 10-year-old daughter.
My wife brought home a bag of silly bands for her today. Shaped like baseball.
Number three, wedding advice. Practicality has no place in a wedding. If your bride-to-be says she wants her great-aunt Marge, who can't carry a tune in a bucket, to sing in your wedding, you say, that sounds like a good idea. Remember, you give her everything she wants on the wedding day. She gives you everything you want on the wedding night. Number four, female comedy singers. They're really more adapted to music videos than just music, but go look up Key of Awesome on YouTube. Some have female leads. All are fantastic. Let's let Ken read the next comment.
Okay, yes. Well, I wanted to mention I've heard many songs by the Key of Awesome on the Dr. Demento show, and they are really good. So
yes, they are.
Another group I haven't heard.
Insane Ian says, looking at comment number four, it appears that we will once again have an episode where you somehow mentioned Flat 29. However, seeing as I'm comments number 3 and 12, you'll be mentioning me as well, and I'm okay with that.
Of course you are.
Of course he is.
And Luke, you can read the last comment.
Okay, Zahui says, Luke, you grew up in the 80s like I did, yet you don't understand the whole Silly Bands thing. Do you not remember the whole Swatch phenomenon? You're probably repressing it too. I do remember the Swatch phenomenon, and you know what? Swatch watches were fucking watches! They had a practical purpose! And they had neat designs. They make sense. People who... Little kids collecting rubber bands that are shaped like things does not make sense. It still
doesn't.
I'm
going to go with Kyle's theory on guess what? We're out of a recession. Yay, economy.
Yeah.
So we got some voice comments, right?
Yes. I don't know how well you'll be able to hear them, but I will play them for you now.
Well, if I can't hear them now, I'll hear them later.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, great show as always. The two comedy releases were Bulk and Skull. The only reason I know that is because ABC Kids has been running about 12 to 1 p.m. on Saturdays, the original Power Rangers again, unfortunately. They decided to pull the 1960s Batman special effects with it. Have a great show, and congratulations on your upcoming marriage, Luke. Let's hope she doesn't beat you up too much. Later.
And here is comment number two.
Hey, Luke. Wondering, are you going to eventually have one episode where instead of Luke and Carrie, it's going to be Luke and his wife, Sarah Tree? That would be a unique episode. Have a good day, and Carrie, no, I didn't forget about you, but since you did the Luke and Carrie, the other one, I thought Luke should have one with his wife. Later.
I didn't ever do an episode with only Josh.
I think he's referring to the thing you did with Bill.
The pot of I don't know.
So... Well, yes, thank you for reminding me.
An episode with me and Josh makes more sense because Josh listens to the podcast.
Ah. So,
hi, Willow.
And please don't,
hi, Willow.
Please don't spike me, Willow.
Willow's on Ken's lap right now.
Last time I had a cat in another house on me and my legs, I ended up with a big cut on my foot, on my leg.
Well, Willow doesn't sharpen her claws very well because she's lazy.
And also, I'm letting the cat walk on me. I'm not trying to pick the cat up. So...
So thank you, Draconis, for calling in. Thanks for reminding me that it was Bulk and Skull. It was right on the tip of my tongue there. Sarah tends to be a person who doesn't want to be on a podcast unless she has something to say, like right now. So she just scooted herself closer to the microphone so that I could look over at her, and then she shook her head no.
That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. So, but we love you.
Willow's licking my arm.
Who has a flavor?
I has a flavor. Willow's licking my arm.
And she's licking your arm more than my hand, so she must like your flavor better.
And now I'm gonna lick Sarah.
Oh God! Oh, get off me!
You should say that for Saturday.
So I can say that again.
All right, let me go through the email here real quick. I'll save that for next time. Got an email from Ron that was very nice, so thank you, Ron, for that email. Kyle Hudson and Bill Putt sent us news. Thank you for that. And Tom Elliott, who I mentioned earlier. Is that all of it? Yeah, Bill Putt, Kyle Hudson, and Tom Elliott sent us news of the stupid this week. Thank you for sending that in. Please send in more news of the stupid. And also, thank you to everyone who made comments. We had tons and tons of comments on the last episode. I'm not sure why, but we very much appreciate all the feedback you guys give us.
What do you mean you're not sure why? Encourage it. Don't discourage it. So, I can't believe there weren't enough comments on the last episode, goddammit. Leave more comments. Okay. And voice comments. More okay. voice comments.
Matt Damon.
So, is there anything you want to say about your upcoming nuptials before we wrap up the show? I'm assuming the majority of the next show will be us or mostly you talking about the wedding.
And trip to and honeymoon.
it's 2 weeks from now, so yeah. Yeah, something along those lines. I had something I wanted to say at the end of the episode, and now I can't remember what it is. I don't really do What's Luke Plugging Now, so I should at least mention that at thefump.com there's Apple Feast by TV's Kyle, I Hate the Google Everything Sidebar by Jesse Smith, who is the guy from Morning Sidekick, Cosplaying Fangirls by Insane Ian featuring me, the great Luke Ski, OMG, I personally like the song a lot. I hope other people like it too.
Yes, we like
yes,
the song.
Yes, I like it.
Shall We Burn a Book for Jesus by Steve Goody. Ben Bernanke by Lemon Demon. Burning Ambitions by Nuclear Bubble Wrap. I Am the Horcrux by Steve Goody. And It's Good to Be the King by me, Luke Ski, featuring Devo Spice and St. Ian and Bud Sharp. Got that up for just a few more days. Twitter tweeting just got bumped into the archives. So aww. You'll have to pay 99 cents to get it. And when you pay 99 cents to get it, you're getting a whopping 320K MP3
yes.
because all of the pay downloads and subscription download thingamabobs for level 1 and level 2 subscribers are now 320K. No more of this 192K crap. 320K because we love our fans and we got the web space and the bandwidth now for it. So peace out to Devo Spice for doing that ninja coding work to pull that out of his butt in under a week. And also, as I said before, at the Fump store, you can now buy t-shirts there. Fump Sideshow has Flat 29s going for a jog, and other things that could be mentioned. Oh, I know what I should mention. By the way, Carrie, do you have anything you want to mention or plug?
Spoon.
Okay, how about you, Ken?
Actually, I was going to say, if anybody...
You should have said fork. That would have been awesome.
You know me. I can never come up with things right off the top of my head. Actually, though, Luke, I know I know there's a shuttle from the from the airport to the hotel, but I actually live halfway between the hotel and the airport. I won't be home Friday because I already have a couple people who are going to be doing this. If you're coming in Friday, give me if you get a hold of me, if you know me, you have my number, and if it might be easier if I can get you.
You know my name. Look up the number.
I know I talked to a couple people
it's
who I've been picking
up. It's the one Beatles song that you know.
You know my name.
because it's the one that Dr. Demento plays.
So like I'm saying, if you're flying into town, I live right by the airport. I can pick you up if you don't want to wait for the shuttle.
Okay.
If you don't have my number, if you don't know it, just mention, put it down somewhere and somehow it'll get to me.
Oh, and I
meant just flying.
Remember earlier?
Do you have anything to say about the wedding before the wedding happens to the podcast? This is your last chance, Luke Ski.
As a single man.
I was still in the midst of plugging things. So.
Oh, damn it!
Remember earlier when I mentioned everyone should, at the wedding should hear Unexplained Rash? It's actually the free MP3 of the week at LukeSki.com. Which I totally didn't know when I said that earlier. And I think this may be the first time it's ever been the free MP3 of the week at LukeSki.com, because we put some new ones in there recently. So go download UR now. And also, that's the reason I came here, is because I wanted to announce some tour dates for me, Luke Ski. Archon 34, which I've said before, its website is archonstl.org/34. It's at the Westport Plaza, St. Louis, Missouri, October 1st through 3rd. I'm going to be performing... hold on a second. I'm getting an incoming call here.
Podcast.
Hi.
Hi.
You're on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Can you please identify yourself?
Yes.
Then do so.
Hi, I'm the Shoebox of Worm Quartet. I'm apparently on Lucas Harry's Better 4.
Shoebox of Worm Quartet? Yeah.
Well, thank you for calling, Shoebox. I will call you back in a few minutes because we're just wrapping up the episode and then we can talk about things.
Thanks, I sent this.
Okay, goodbye.
That is the music track director of Con and the Cob in Akron, Ohio.
Yes, which is the very next thing I was about to say when he called was Con and the Cob 2011. It's at conandthecob.com.
A coincidence.
Yes.
Yes, Clarion Hotel and Conference Center, October 14th through 17th, 2010.
I will be performing there as well.
Yes, Shoebox is on the verge of making some announcements for schedules and stuff like that. I'll be there. Carrie will be there. Shoebox will be there. Many others will be there. Yeah. So in 2011, I actually already have four or five tour dates for 2011 lined up. The first is in January, which is odd because there usually aren't conventions in January, but this time there is. In fact, it's on the the weekend of my birthday up in Milwaukee, Midwinter Gaming Convention 2011. Their website is deaduntildusk.com/midwinter. It'll be held at the Best Western Milwaukee Airport Hotel and Conference Center, January 13th through 16th, as well as me performing there on Friday and Saturday. The guys from, I forgot the name of their company, the guys who do Chad Vader are going to be there. So that's awesome. Of course, MarsCon 2011 will be March 4th through 6th, 2011. More on that incessantly in the future. Mid-SouthCon 29 is midsouthcon.org at the Hilton in Memphis Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, March 25th through 27th, 2011. I am their Toastmaster. My first time as a Toastmaster. So, Conquest 42 is conquestkc.org at the Hyatt Regency Crown Center in Kansas City, Missouri, May 27th through 29th, 2011. I am their Media Guests of Honor. It is Memorial Day weekend, 2011, and I'm going to be going back to Kansas City, the city where my career in comedy music started, so I'm really looking forward to that. And late in 2011, November 4th through 6th, I will be at Contraflow, which is contraflowsci-fi.org at the Clarion in New Orleans, West Bank. So,
oh my God!
Yep,
you're wow. doing a New Orleans con.
Yep, I'm doing a con in New Orleans. So
you fucker, I hate you. Die and go to hell a lot.
Yes, Sarah's coming with me.
I don't want to go.
Well, then just whip Josh until he makes the reservations.
Yeah, but I don't have a performance slot.
I could get you one.
Anyways, anything else to plug?
I wanted to plug all those tour date type of things.
Okay, I want the show to be over soon because I haven't seen my husband in several days, and we need to adjourn to the bedroom soon. to sleep.
So sorry, this podcast is over.
We're very tired.
Oh, wait, I'm trying to search for something on the wrong email account. I'm sorry.
I want this sort of over now.
Well, it's not about what you want all the time.
Yes, it is.
And trust me, I am not in the most comfortable positions
Josh.
Right now.
What?
I have a... Just trust me, you're only hearing this on the air. I'm actually
Josh
seeing
this. Josh
is
literally trying to seduce me while the podcast is still on.
No, he's not trying. I think he's succeeding.
Too soon? What?
Okay, I'm just trying to make sure I not forget anything important. Well, yeah, let's see. Okay. The Dr. Demento show is awesome. You should listen to it. Go to drdemento.com, drdemento.com, and listen to his show, $2 an episode. It freaking rules. And then request songs by me and Carrie and Insane Ian and other people. Well, I totally can't remember the other thing I was going to say, so I guess we'll have to end the show without me saying it.
Well, do you want to say anything else as a single man before your wedding? To the podcast.
You're asking me that question with my fiance, you know, a mere 6 feet away, and she has 2 yardsticks. So
that says it all.
And a knife.
Okay.
So,
Thanks, guys, for listening to the podcast.
And thank you, special guest Ken, for being here.
Thank you for having me and for everybody for putting up with me this show.
So you can visit badrapport.com and leave comments.
Yeah.
And you can call
916 Luke Ski
to leave voice comments.
And you can email us at badrapport@gmail.com if you have things to say that you don't necessarily want read on the air.
So this concludes episode 24, am I right?
Yes, it does. And
thank God. Okay.
And there'll be another song, and then people can listen to it or not. So
all right. So this has been Carrie.
This has been Luke.
And this has been Ken.
And you've been listening to Luke and Carrie and Ken's Bad Rapport.
Bye-bye.
Now I need to go home and take a shower.
Chunk of old gym love, a couple chins below my head, I'm more perched above. I'm software engineer by trade, pure geeky through and through. I can quote Bruce Trump or Douglas Adams, still my face turns blue. Now you would think with stats like these that I'd find no affection, surfing in the crackling pages of an old penthouse collection. But the gods of love and logic must have been awful mistake of the real life woman, Mary G. She seems inclined to stay. I often find it stunning, it seems to disagree with everything I've ever seen in movies or TV, where the fact he gets no fanfare and his minor wins are muffled. So this victory is for every nerd who's ever trouble shuffled. Cause I got a wife where my porn should be, my porn should be, my porn should be. I've got a wife where my porn should be, my porn should be, oh yeah. I've got a wife where my porn should be, my porn should be, my porn should be. I've got a wife where my porn should be, my porn should be, oh yeah. Let's rock now! Collection hits the ceiling of my room. It's a ticky haven basement lair that's never seen a broom. Where I feed to the NRPG is where I'll never rest. Till every console I own emulates the Atari VCS. Screeching weasel and weird out there at me from my walls. A sump up in the corner helps me cope when nature calls. Now take this mental image and keep it in your head. Of where the blow up doll belongs and serve a girl instead. I'm fine with any sanity, this fact is sure to vex. I've got John Lancey's autograph, but also I've had sex. These hands inside are circuitry and code is an OS. Have also felt the fleshy touch of human female breasts. Cause I've got a wife for my porn should be, my porn should be, my porn should be. I've got a wife for my porn should be, my porn should be, oh yeah. I've got a wife for my porn should be, my porn should be, my porn should be. I've got a wife for my porn should be, my porn should be, oh yeah. Yeah, I've got a wife, where my porn should be. I've got a wife,
for more information about my wife, please consult the song My Wife from my third full-length CD, Faster Than a Speeding Mullet, available as we speak from wormquartet.com.
Well, that's a cheap plug.
It's not a plug. It's a bibliography.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
I'm Jack Bauer. Who the hell are you?
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
Damn it!